And welcome to Food for Thought. I'm Dee Dee McGrail.
And I'm Laura Mangone.
And I'm Benny V.
And I have to tell you, I was at, I visited a few minutes ago, well, within the hour, I was visiting with my cousin in Blairstown, Joey, and he wanted me to set up the podcast, our podcasts on his computer, which
really?
I did. He has a link to go right to the podcasts, and we listened to the show that we did. I guess it was the last show we did right before Thanksgiving. And do you remember I kept saying your name instead of saying Dee Dee? But it wasn't just me. You said it twice.
I know.
I remember one that I recognized, but then Joey was like, I thought she doesn't like to say her name.
Yeah, like, the jig is up.
Yeah, but we all mess it up all the time.
No, but
he pointed it out to me. He was like, well, wait a minute. Why is she saying her name if she doesn't, if she wants to be?
Well, because sometimes I slip up and I don't say my stage name.
I do it all the time.
Dee Dee McGrail. That's
Rosie O'Grady. Rosie O'Grady. And Vinny's here working the board.
I'm here. And it was a long trip up here this time.
Yes.
Yeah, I had to stop and get something to eat to keep me
awake. To nourish yourself?
No, to stay awake.
Oh, gosh.
I was really like...
Hey, so you drove. How was your Thanksgiving? You had a long drive. How was that?
That was good.
I was thinking about you on Saturday because that's when it was snowing when you were driving home, right?
Yeah, but we were home already by that time.
Oh, you were?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. It was not a problem at all.
Lots of good eats?
Yeah, lots of good eats and good people. And,
nice.
You know.
Did your sister save you any leftovers from her house? You missed out on everything.
I missed out on it.
Oh, bummer.
Can I share about my Thanksgiving?
Yes, I want to hear about yours.
It was just me, Dawn, and the kids.
Yeah.
And it was the worst dinner I've ever made.
Oh, really? I doubt that.
No, it was.
From your point of view, I'm sure they loved it.
Look at what I did. So I didn't go crazy. I just did turkey, a little stuffing.
Did you do a whole turkey or a breast?
A whole turkey.
Okay.
Little stuffing. Mashed potatoes,
mm-hmm.
cranberry sauce,
mm-hmm.
right? And then I made a thing of pasta because Alex likes pasta.
Right.
Undercooked the turkey.
Really?
Took it out at 145.
And how long did it sit?
For quite a while.
And it didn't come up to temp?
The breast was great, but it was right near the bone.
Joint,
of
there was red.
Of the joint, there was a little red. Burnt. The cranberry sauce.
Oh, jeez. I'm telling you. And I was going to bring it today. Totally forgot. I saved a container. I'm going to put it in the freezer. Actually, I put it in the freezer already. And I will bring it next time we tape. Because you need to taste it. So you burnt it? What'd you burn?
I burned the cranberry sauce. I just let it, I let it sit on the...
Put a ton of sugar in it and let it reduce.
And it got, it boiled down to like a half a cup. So we each had like a teaspoon of cranberry sauce. Turkey with,
although that's always, that's kind of enough sometimes.
Here's the gravy.
Yes. I know we had this big dispute about the gravy last time.
Oh my God. So I've made gravy, you know, a few times in my life.
Yeah.
And I did the flour and water.
You used the drippings from your turkey. You put it on something else to rest.
But I took the flour and water. I think what happened is that I know the water has to be cold.
Yes.
When you do that. Mm-hmm. The water was hot when I didn't realize that the tap water was coming out hot.
Have to be.
And then I realized, oh, shut that off. And then I put on the cold water and I finished it. And so when I made the gravy, it was totally separated, like coagulated.
Did you make time out. You put the flour in the drippings? Or did you make a roux separately?
I combined the flour and water separately.
I don't use water in it. I just put it in the drippings.
All right.
Or I make a roux with butter and it's separate.
I didn't do that. I always do it this way. And it was completely wrong.
So it coagulated?
Wrong. It coagulated.
Bummer.
And it was wrong. And it was terrible.
I'm sorry to hear that.
We ate all the breast and then I was trying to take apart the rest of the turkey, and I thought, screw this, I'm throwing it out. So I just threw out the rest of the turkey.
You didn't just throw it back in the oven?
No.
Why? You could have had turkey sandwiches the next day.
No, I just didn't want to deal.
So, see, that's the part that I miss is, you know, we didn't cook a turkey. We didn't have a turkey. We went to my sister-in-law's for a little while, but it was late in the day after we did all the cooking at work, and we took stuff to the soup kitchen, and we had people coming, those homeless families we were cooking for came and picked stuff up, and then Annie's kids went to... Vinny's got his Rockin' Robin.
Oh dear!
Phone ringing. So the following day, Mario brought some stuff home from work because there was turkey around. But I like, you know, I like having a turkey sandwich the night of Thanksgiving.
Yeah, well, mine was horrible, and it would have been cute if I, like, you know how some women don't cook. And it's cute when they ruin stuff. But, you know, I'm a freaking chef. Yeah. And it was like, this is the worst dinner I've ever had.
I have to tell you, a lot of our customers, when we go to cater at people's, you know, million-dollar kitchens, they don't know anything. They, like, you know, they store things in their oven. Like, they don't know how to turn them on.
They don't. That's actually true. They do.
My sister, although she's a very good cook, doesn't use her oven all that often. She's not, you know, cooking for a lot of people on a regular basis. She once told me she had to dust her oven.
Dust it?
Because she doesn't use it. You know, she hadn't used it for so long. Yeah.
Wow.
Not mine. Mine needs to be cleaned. Like, once every 2 months, I have to clean it.
So I have a question. Mm-hmm. I have a catering job this weekend. Yes. And I did a brie en croûte.
Nice.
Now, over the years, I've done brie en croûtes like probably a million times in my life.
Right.
And what I have found is that when I totally encase the brie in puff pastry, that you need to make like a little air hole. Because if you don't, then the brie has a tendency to explode or just ooze out of the pastry.
That has not been my experience.
All right, I know. But nothing bad ever happens to you.
That's not true. Lots of bad shit happens. That's not true. Do you freeze it?
Yeah, totally.
Do you freeze it before?
Totally, but this time...
Do you cut it and fill it with something like cranberries or whatever?
I put the filling chutney on the top because this... I actually got like a 12-inch... I got half of a 12-inch
kilo
round.
Right, okay.
So... And it was kind of thin, and I didn't want to cut it horizontally, so I just put the stuff, like the apricots and the nuts and the sugar on top.
All right, well, that might be a reason, because I only do whole ones. It's not, it doesn't have a surface area. It doesn't have a section. It's a whole. And even when I cut it across, you know, horizontally, I put the stuffing in it, but then I smush down the outside so the cheese meets the cheese, and then I freeze it. So there's no surface cheese. So that's possible why
there's more moisture coming out. I have the brie wrapped, but at the top, there's like an opening because I actually didn't have enough pastry. So there's an opening that exposes the stuff, like the stuffing, the, you know, the sugar and the dried fruit and the nuts.
Right.
I'll be fine, right?
I mean, you should be fine. What I would have done, even if I was running out of... Did you roll the pastry? Did you expand the pastry at all?
I did.
So I would have cut some trimmings and made the hole bigger, but on the side, I would have made some leaves or things so that after it bakes, then you can cover up what you need to with, you know, excess pieces, leaves or berries of puff pastry. Like I do that when I make pie. I always have extra pie dough that I actually make really pretty leaves, I have to say. I make leaves and then I mark them with the back of a knife so they have the veins in them. Mm-hmm. And I bake them while I'm baking the pies. And when the pies come out, if there's a little discoloration where the filling meets the crust or if there is a crack, I just put on a couple of leaves, like whether it's on the side or a couple, like three in the middle with some, and then I just make little pastry ball, so it looks almost like holly-like. It's a leaf and little berries. Just strategically, you can place them afterwards. So if I did have a hole in the top of my puff pastry to begin with, I would just make it a little bit bigger so that I had the opportunity to make leaves so that I could cover when it after it bakes, you see where you really need to cover stuff up. Know what I mean?
Well, we'll see how
And you can put fruit on top of it. You have what's in the filling? You said fruit?
Dried apricots, brown sugar, and pecans.
Yeah, so you can chop up pecans and apricots and sprinkle that on top of it.
Right,
done.
I'm sure
deal.
It'll be fine. I also
Oh, that's going to be good. It sounds delicious.
Gougère I've been doing for a million years. And so, but normally I bake the gougère first.
Cheese puffs for the rest
cheese
of us.
Cheese puffs, if you don't know.
If you don't know.
Gourmet cheese puffs, and you start with a...
Pate-à-choux. Dough.
And you put in cheese.
Yep.
And roll them into balls.
Yep.
And then normally I bake them off.
Mm-hmm. And then do you put more, you pipe more in them?
No.
Oh, I usually do. I like that.
But then I freeze them, baked off, and then reheat them.
Right.
This time I froze them in a raw dough state because I ran out of time. No,
did you bake them? Did you bake them yet?
No, but all of the recipes, and I've read quite a few, say that one of the good things about gougère is that you can either bake them off. You have to pipe
bake
out the
and
dough.
Freeze or freeze and bake.
You can bake and freeze or freeze the raw dough and bake, but I've never done it before.
Yeah,
so
I've never done it before either, I think. Well,
straight from the freezer.
Work.
Yeah.
I'm surprised the moisture content doesn't... Well,
where's the moisture?
From the freezer. Crystallization on anything.
Oh, well,
from the freezer.
That won't be a lot. I just made it. I just did them a couple nights ago.
Cool.
So...
Well, that's a good experiment. I want to report.
Yeah, I love experimenting on catering jobs.
I
want to
report on that. So what else is on? This is great. You got a catering gig you're doing this weekend, right?
So we got gougère, the past hors d'oeuvres, or gougère, black pepper tuna wrapped in basil with, what's that? Seaweed salad and a soy reduction.
Wakame. The wakame seaweed. Which I love.
Mushroom.
I love the texture of that seaweed.
The seaweed
that,
salad?
That bite to it.
Oh, yeah.
That wakame. I love that.
I love it. Wild mushroom, phyllo, triangles.
Nice.
Gougère, I said that. Stuffed mushrooms. I don't know why we did mushrooms again. Beef satay, which
nice.
I haven't made that in a while. But I just made the satay sauce with, I just use like a crunchy, an extra chunky peanut butter, fresh ginger, garlic, lime juice, soy sauce.
Nice.
And sometimes a little water, just if it's, if it's too salty,
thin
it out a little bit.
Good. That sounds good.
And... I don't know. Oh, panko crusted. Gosh, panko sesame chicken bites with Thai chili sauce, which if I make one more batch of those, I'm going to kill myself. Like, I can't.
I know, but they're so good.
They're all right. I mean,
they're
my God.
They're all right. How many people is this for?
It's for 30 people. And so the main food it is just hors d'oeuvres. And I don't normally do this, but they wanted some sort of salmon, like a hot salmon. And so I said, well, you know, usually for cocktail parties, I don't do little hot salmon pieces. I would do more like a gravlax or a smoked salmon. And they wanted hot salmon. So I'm doing tiny portions of hot salmon, baked salmon with sautéed leeks and tomatoes.
Sounds
and
good.
A Mediterranean platter, of course.
Oh, my gosh. If Deirdre and I had a nickel for every Mediterranean platter we have made, we would be on a yacht somewhere.
Oh my God.
I love
we would not be. We would be taping from a remote location in the Greek islands.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So I'm doing caponata.
I mean, the easy thing is you do it in your sleep, but yeah. And it's boring as all hell for us, but the customers love it.
They do.
But yeah. Well, that sounds good. That sounds really good.
Did you make grape leaves?
It's not. When is this?
I'm
is it going to snow?
No, I'm not doing stuffed grape leaves this time.
What day is this?
It's Saturday.
Oh, no. Saturday's supposed to be nice.
So one funny
I think
story.
We're getting more snow on Friday.
Ugh. Are we?
I think. I saw.
No.
Yeah.
When?
Sorry. Friday, late afternoon.
Oh, man.
According to Eyewitness News. Who could be completely wrong, but who knows?
So get this. I'm not going to mention the bakery, of course.
Yes.
But this client wanted me to do assorted dessert squares and cookies, which I'm not a baker, so I don't do it. But I'll get them from a reputable baker, good quality.
Should have told me I could bring them.
Oh, stop. And so
we only have like trays and trays and trays of them on a regular basis.
I called a local bakery, which I've really had issue with for the past...
Oh, I know which one.
3 years.
Yep.
She opened like 3 or 4 years ago, and I started ordering from her, and she had an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it was like, you can't call me 3 days before a party, and you can't do this. And I mean, to the point where I thought, I can't believe this woman is successful.
Is in business, right. I remember the last instance you were like, it's a business. You're running a business here. Like, you don't want orders?
And so like last year I called a couple times and she's grown. So she had employees answering the phone and they were much easier to talk to about what I wanted. Right. And I was totally flexible. Mm-hmm. And so I had to call yesterday and I was like, I could tell she
It was answered. Her.
She was on the phone.
And I was like,
were you timid about it?
If it's possible, I know you guys are probably really busy and it's Wednesday and this is for Saturday, but is there any chance
was
that
she
I
nice?
Get? She was all right. I feel like it took her 4 years.
How much did she charge you for dessert bars? I'm curious.
I don't know. I'll find out when I get there.
Find out because
what
I can
they,
bring
well,
you
for,
dessert bars.
For a 4x4 bar, what do you guys charge?
Ours are a little bit larger than 4x4, and for a whole bar, it's $3.
Yeah.
You know, if you do an assortment.
It's around that.
Yeah.
All right, so we're running out of time.
We
when
are.
We come back, what recipes are we going to talk about?
I have lots of ideas.
Okay.
We will discuss.
All right.
We'll be back.
Attention all timeshare owners. Is this what you'd like to do with your timeshare contract? Do you own a timeshare and just want out? Thousands of timeshare owners are getting out of their timeshare contracts. With the help of Timeshare Compliance, Timeshare Compliance can legally terminate, tear up, shred, eliminate, trash your timeshare agreement, ending your payments forever, saving you thousands. So whether you're a victim of a high-pressure, dishonest sales agent, or you were misled with what you were buying, or you overpaid and they underdelivered, call Timeshare Compliance now for a free consultation. With one simple call, the trusted professionals at Timeshare Compliance can legally rip up your timeshare agreement and help rip up your financial suffering. You could save thousands. Call now before another payment is due. Timeshare Compliance is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. Call 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390. 800-726-5390.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back.
We're back. I wanted to talk a little bit about the kids. You know, I'm the chef manager for high school, you know, a.k.a. lunch lady.
When we last left the kids, they were asking you for the Friday before Thanksgiving sandwiches.
Yes.
And you were running around with the gravy because they didn't order them and then they did order them.
And then they
remember?
Did. Yeah. At the end, everybody was getting it. So
Joey wanted to listen to the show today, so I listened to it.
Oh,
I rarely listen to our show, but I listened today.
So the vegetarian sandwich for the week, we do a deli special, which is a sandwich that comes with chips and a water for $5.50. So it's like the biggest
big seller.
Bargain.
Yeah.
And so we have to do the equivalent, or basically the equivalent of a vegetarian. So this mm-hmm. week we did vegetarian banh mi.
Nice.
Sandwiches. So nice. I just did it with, now there's even, mm. even when we didn't do, when
like
we did chicken banh mi.
Cabbage slaw with
I
it?
I made
or?
A pickled vegetables.
What's a banh mi?
It's a Vietnamese sandwich. Mm. And it's got influences from, you know, France and other countries.
Thailand. I think of Thai when I think of a banh mi, but it's, mm. Sometimes they're pork,
bun,
you know, they have, yeah, they are exactly, but they have meat of some sort. Usually mm-hmm. if it's a Korean one or a Vietnamese one, right. it's pork mm-hmm. and then a slaw of some sort, sometimes mm-hmm. cabbage, sometimes kimchi, sometimes mm-hmm. it depends, but it's like, and it's like a slider. It's small. They're usually small.
Okay.
Sometimes they do them on the puffy rice rolls, which are, so
yeah,
good.
I don't have a lot of experience with them. I've mm-hmm. had them a couple times. I think mm-hmm. we would get them in Newark or something.
There's a place in Chicago that I love that has them.
And typically they're with, well, they're made with meat and pate.
Yeah.
And obviously a vegetarian's not going to have that. So right. we just did the tofu. Mm-hmm. We did like a fried tofu with the sriracha mayo.
Nice.
And pickled vegetables. And I did nice. Pickled carrots, daikon. Mm-hmm. And red pepper.
Nice.
And so, you know, we sell like
good.
We sell like three a day.
Oh.
Are it's there, usually to the seniors.
Are there a
know?
Lot of vegetarians?
There's not tons. But
I know it's an artsy school, but...
It's an artsy school, and I think what I'm finding is the vegetarians tend to be older.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's usually the seniors who are more...
Right. In tune.
Sort of in tune with mm-hmm. things and trying to, you know, do the right thing. Because the rest of them, they want chicken fingers and mac and cheese
pizza.
And pizza. And they want all this horrible stuff, yeah. which is what I have to do for the most part.
Right.
So today, and you never know, it's only been a month. Mm-hmm. So I try to introduce like a new couple of things every week.
Do they give you feedback?
Well, we actually
do you
just,
like walk around and like,
I do. I touch
you do
tables.
And you do and
I
and
touch
see?
Tables. Yes, I do. And it's so funny to do it to when you do what my old company they used to call it touch tables. It
yeah.
just means when the chef comes out and says, "Hey,
right.
what do you think?" And what I love about the teenagers is that sometimes I'll come up mm-hmm. and I'm like, "Hey guys, like who got the pizza?" And
how is
and,
everything? Right.
You know, and sometimes they're like, I did. Yeah, it was great or whatever. And then sometimes you get a kid that all of a sudden starts looking around them like, oh, no, the crazy lunch lady is talking to me. And you want to smack them
right.
and go, dude, all right, I'm not crazy.
Right.
Just get a grip. Grow
just
up.
Just looking for some feedback.
And, you know, answer
the,
my
on
question.
On the food I'm preparing
you
for you.
So I get that a lot. You know, sometimes they freeze. You know, they're like, well, why
any
is she
chatty,
talking
any
to me?
Any chatty Kathys that are like, you know, talking up their food knowledge?
No one has food knowledge.
Okay. All right.
Which is kind of interesting. Okay. No one has food knowledge at all.
Right.
So they're just, they think
sad.
Everything's great. Even though I'm...
I mean, even if they did, they probably just don't want to chat about it, but wouldn't you at their age? I certainly would.
To really any of the kids that have any food knowledge at all.
Huh.
I mean, I'm surprised to even have a handful of them and say, can I have the banh mi?
Right.
You know, that they're confident enough that they probably kind of know what that is, or
right.
at least they've read
right.
the description, but...
Right.
So today I made, I thought it was going to be the hugest hit,
mm-hmm.
Sloppy Joe's.
Oh my gosh. I don't, you know, I've never had a Sloppy Joe.
I had one when I was little.
So is it, it's ground beef with marinara in it?
No, here's the thing. No, I had to
it's
look it
it's
up.
It's like sweet sauce,
I
right?
had to look it up. So, because I, when my mom made them, she got those little packets. You know, like the flavor
it's like
powdered
taco,
stuff
it's like taco
that you
seasoning.
Add to the beef, and it's gross.
And
so
is
I
it?
Thought
it's sugary.
So I didn't want to do that. I didn't want to open a packet. So right. I thought we're going to do homemade sloppy joes. So right. I looked up recipes and it was basically a tomato product.
Does that mean ketchup or tomatoes?
It means tomatoes, but also added ketchup. It might have mustard, molasses,
so it's sweet.
Sugar.
Yeah, they're sweet.
Brown right. sugar, vinegar. So I basically, so from my house this morning, because we didn't have all of the different things to add to it. Uh-huh. I found
brought with you molasses.
I dumped every jar of anything sweet or sour from my refrigerator in a big container. Hoisin sauce.
Okay.
Orange marmalade.
Nice.
Some other kind of preserves that I had.
Nice.
I bet it Worcestershire sauce.
I bet it was delicious.
Mustard. It's almost kind of like a tomato sauce meets barbecue.
Okay.
A little bit. So I made the sauce and I was kind of like, wow, this is good.
Good.
They like half of them ate it. You know, really? You never know what these kids are going to eat.
And on a soft roll?
Brioche roll.
Ground nice. Beef and the sauce.
Ground beef sauce on
onions
a brioche roll.
Or peppers or anything
no,
else?
None of that. Okay. But then I did baby glazed carrots with brown sugar. And they all wanted that. But I still have... I have a good 10 pounds and now I have to make a soup.
Oh, there you go. So,
do I add
lots of vegetables,
beef stock and yes. elbow macaroni and call it what do I call it? So they
taco
don't know.
Soup. Taco soup. You call it taco soup.
Call it something so that next week they're not hey,
no,
light
do
bulb.
That and then put chili powder and cumin in it. Taco soup.
I guess.
Yeah,
I guess, but
taco minestrone. Throw some beans in it. Beans, today's pasta, and the beef.
Yeah,
and you know, mirepoix. You know, always mirepoix.
Yeah, so hopefully that'll sell. It's funny the soups there's sometimes that I actually throw away entire batches of soup because they just don't like how it sounds. One time I made myself. I've been purchasing a lot of them, but I made a vegetable chili.
Yeah.
But I made the mistake of we buy these grated carrots for
salad
bar. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And when they start to, if you have them for a couple of days, you kind of want to cook them.
Yeah,
you don't want to. So I put those great, even though I tried to chop them up, I put them in the vegetable chili. Well, they can see that it looks like a little string of some sort. And they're like, what's that? I'm like, it's a carrot. Oh. You know, they just
put some beef or ground turkey, you know,
this is vegetarian chili.
I know, but turn it into, if you put now beef into it or put something else into
it'll
thicken up the volume, you know, it'll increase the volume of it. And those little pieces of orange carrots won't be as evident.
If you cook it long enough, the carrots will fall apart and you won't see it. But oh my God, trying to figure out what these kids like.
That's my favorite thing actually is recycling. Is seeing
what
comes back from a party or what we, you know, have too much of and what do we turn it into. I really do love it.
I did today, and these are soups that I bought, which I'm actually ashamed to say, but I'm still in the first month, so we're buying some stuff until we figure out. We don't have...
You don't have a kettle. You don't
have
stuff to make.
I have one burner. Yeah. I have an oven, so it's really hard to do stuff from scratch.
You're excused. You don't have the equipment to be baking half of this stuff.
I had a little batch of chicken and dumpling soup, which is made by a company called Molly's Kitchen. And then there was a soup called chicken and wild rice. So on the menu, I had to state what it was. So I said it was chicken and dumpling. And so I was like, guess what? Today you're getting chicken and dumpling soup with wild rice. And I mixed them together. Yeah. It sold out.
Really?
Really?
Good.
Yeah.
See, so that's what you got
to
hold on.
20% food costs. I love going to the register at the end of the day. I'm like, how many soups did we sell? And she's like, 17. I'm like,
yes!
Score! 20%, man.
Yeah.
So now you got to write that down. Say, this worked. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the kids are very fickle. You think you figure them out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this worked, so... the next thing, and they don't. They're just very strange. You know, they come up to me and they're like, could I have like some celery? I'm like, what?
Random celery sticks?
Can I have a salad dressing? We have these little packets of Ken's salad dressing. And I said, just a packet
Ken's
of...
like vinaigrette and Caesar and...
Caesar, cream Italian, right. Balsamic vinaigrette. You know, we don't... Right. I make dressing when I have special salads, but... Mm-hmm. And this girl comes in, she's like, can I have just a packet of dressing? And how much would that be? And I know it costs us like 8 cents. And so I said...
What is she putting it on?
She said, well, my mom like made me a salad and she didn't pack me any dressing. I'm like, all right, just take it.
Well, it's a nickel.
So funny.
It's 6 cents.
It's like, it's 8 cents a packet. Yeah. You know, just take it.
You charge the kids that?
No. She just gave it to her. For the sake of figuring out how much it was.
I gave it to her today. The kids, and this is, you know how you... I know you get off on this, and a lot of chefs, especially if you're working on kind of a lower end thing, you really get off on the food cost. You know, your percentages are like, oh my God. So,
yeah, Mario and I were like between 16 and 18 percent for quite a lot of years. It was like, yes, this is awesome.
I love it.
Yeah.
Because half of what I've never dealt with before is a retail kind of operation where there's a lot of product like donuts and candy and bagels and stuff we really don't make the markup on. Mm-hmm. It's like a 50% food cost.
Right.
So my mission is to make the rest of the food cost, the sandwiches and everything else, at like 20%.
As low as possible.
So that I can bring... But I'm budgeted at like 58%.
58?
Yes.
Holy crap.
Even though I thought it would be subsidized, but it's
58%?
Not. 50, 55, somewhere between 50 and 60.
That's insane.
I know. So we do these, how much time do we have? We do these
keep going.
Deli specials where we give a sandwich with, it's so funny. My girls were cracking up because we give a deli sandwich of the day with a little bag of chips and a bottle of water, and it's $5.50. So I've been kind of whittling it down and I'm figuring out how much everything costs. And I bought another couple of cases of chips and the girls were cracking up today because the chips that I bought literally are like 2x2 little bags.
Oh, they're like snack size or whatever.
Teeny tiny. And they're laughing. I go, shut up. They cost 15 cents. All right.
And how much are you charging for them?
Well, they come with a sandwich with the water. With the sandwich and the chips and the water, it's $5.50.
I know, but prior, were they getting a regular bag of chips?
Well, we're sneaking in the little shit.
Okay. Oh, boy.
But what we're doing is
we're outraged kids.
No, we're also, because I knew that, if they're going to start to see these little bags and be the last time we got a bigger bag.
Right.
So what we're doing is we're getting loose tortilla chips.
Right.
And we're putting them into little individual bags. So if you want a bigger bag of chips with your sandwich, you can have this because it doesn't cost us that much.
Exactly.
You know, these little individual bags, they cost money.
Yeah.
So I've realized, so I ordered a case of American cheese by mistake instead of ordering one sleeve. Uh-huh. So I was like, guess what? This week we're having deli special grilled cheese.
Nice.
So you get to use all your stale bread.
Right.
Which is awesome.
Oh,
and they all get it. That's all they want. They want the grilled cheese. They don't care about the price. Between grilled cheese and the chips and the water, it cost me $1.10.
Oh my gosh.
I'm charging $5.50.
Woohoo!
And they think it's like the best deal ever. I'm like,
that is awesome.
Order as many as you want.
18%.
I know, because I have to.
Yeah.
But I also, I'm not trying to screw them over. I actually want to give them
a
deal.
We're
losing money on a lot of other things.
Right.
But these kids, this is what they want. They want a grilled cheese. And with a bottle of water and a chips for $5.50, they're all right.
That's awesome.
All right, that's my
Do
current
they like
life.
Grilled cheese with tomato?
I wouldn't
just,
dare
wouldn't
do
dare,
that
no.
at a high school.
Okay.
No.
All right.
And
no.
it has to be American cheese?
They all want American cheese. Mm. I mean, we do offer other cheeses, but mm-hmm. I know for like the grilled cheese special, I personally would cringe at American cheese. They're like, they raise their hand at American. I'm like, good deal, because I just bought a freaking case.
All right.
And last night, Don got a salad for me. Chicken over a garden salad. They put American cheese on it.
From where?
From the pizza place in Milford. Really? Who does that?
I guess people.
I didn't ask for any cheese, but if you're going to put cheese, like American, that's one of the only things I can't eat.
Plus, a pizzeria, you would think it would be mozzarella or provolone or, you know, right? It wouldn't be.
Right.
That's crazy.
All right, so we're running out of time. When we come back, some holiday recipes.
Sure.
When we come back.
Explore the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville and be part of the fun. Shop in the area's most unique stores, from antiques to toys to apparel, and you're sure to find a one-of-a-kind treasure. Make a reservation at one of Lambertville or New Hope's variety of dining options for dinner, wine, beer, or an artisan cocktail. Indoors or out, grab an ice cream cone to enjoy by the river for the first Friday fireworks. Create memories that will last a lifetime at the river towns of New Hope and Lambertville, where everyone is welcome. Visit DelawareRiverTowns.com.
Welcome back to Food for Thought.
We're back, and the holidays are coming.
Yes, they are. Could I just interject?
Go for it.
So last year.
Bah humbug. Is that what you're
totally
gonna say?
Bah humbug. I can't wait till it's over. It's fine. It doesn't mean I don't love everybody. I do. It's just this time of year.
It's very stressful.
And then sometimes I get this
I'm very stressed.
Blessed, you know, I'll be surprised and have this Christmas Eve or, you know, something magical. But usually all the time leading up to it is so stressful that I've said to myself every year that, you know, now that my kids are getting older, I'm going to the Bahamas next time.
I'll go with you.
Guess what? I'm working at a school.
Yeah.
So I am off from December 20th, I have a half a day, and I don't return until January 2nd.
Ooh, wow.
That's nice.
You should go away.
I don't really have the money to go away. And plus, I'm not getting paid for all that time I'm not working.
Right. Oh.
But
why not?
Because that's the way it goes. I'm hourly.
Oh.
Which kind of sucks, but whatever.
Right.
But
I would think that would be just vacation
time. What?
Vinny's crunching over there.
All right, Laura. Oh, he muted himself.
Oh, you muted yourself.
See?
Oh, my goodness.
He muted himself.
You're so smart. Like, I can see the... I know it's me, probably.
Now, speaking of muting, I have a friend. I have quite a few friends who are corporate. And they always have conference calls. And sometimes it's, you know, it could be three people, it could be a dozen people, it could be two dozen people.
Everybody.
My friend Lauren was telling me about one recently where the guy didn't realize he was not on mute. And he was like, God damn it. Could you take those kids and put them at...
screaming at his wife?
Yeah, yeah.
Thought
he was on mute. And everybody, the whole group is listening. They're like, ah! And so Lauren is like...
When he came back, did he realize it?
Well, here's the thing. Lauren, it was the first time that she was in charge of this call.
Okay.
So she didn't know how to, like, fix it.
All right.
You know, because if you're in charge of the call, you can go shut that shit up.
Right.
But she couldn't figure it out. So then she starts texting this guy. She's like, dude, you have to stop right away. We can all hear you. Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. That's
We're
hysterical.
We're some freaking pharmaceutical company and someone's like, God damn kids.
Get the kids out of the house. I'm on a call. Oh, that's hysterical.
Like that famous
my gosh,
video
too funny.
Of the guy who was on like a news show, and then did you see that, Vin, where the little kids came in the background?
No. Yeah. No,
so funny. You have to look it up. Mm. So this guy's like, you
seriously
know, on,
doing
like,
a
CNN
report
or something, and he's like in his home office, and all of a sudden this little kid in a what is it called when they travel in the little thing, like the little little kid comes up behind him.
Oh, I think I did see that.
And
the little
the wheels, and he's like. You know, and then he realizes and he's pushing it away, pushing it away. Then the other kid comes in and starts going, dee, 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 dee. And then the wife, comes in and she's like, oh my God. She's dragging them out by their necks.
Oh, we have to look at this. I have never seen that either. That's hysterical.
Oh my God.
But
have
you
seen
remember?
It?
No, have do you remember?
I think I've seen it. Yeah.
Oh, it's precious. I think it was Rudy Giuliani's son. Do you remember when?
Ew.
Do you remember when he was inaugurated? I think it was Giuliani. His son
was
in the box going, nah, 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 like doing all this crap.
I remember that. Yeah.
While he was being, like the Bible is out.
Giuliani's
being,
or Cuomo?
I think it was Giuliani.
No, it was Giuliani.
I think it was Giuliani.
All right. Yeah.
Little,
I mean, the kid was a little
speaking
chubby
of Giuliani,
little chubby he was
kid.
Just like the kid on the movie
Major League.
Major League. A League of Their Own.
Clone. Yeah, yeah,
yes, with Tom Hanks. And the kid is like.
So have you seen The Irishman?
I have not.
You have?
I just seen
over
it
the weekend, week, yeah. Kelly's new husband, Alex, literally got there on Wednesday and said, oh, it's a 3.5 hour, but we have to watch it. We have to watch it. We have to watch it. So we had plans. We were going to do it Thursday morning because everybody was, you know, some people were going to the turkey trot. We had until whatever time to go to the restaurant to make food for the homeless. It's like, we're watching this. We are watching this. I'm like, okay, great. You know,
and
I'm ready. Didn't do it. Then Friday morning, like, Laura, we're getting up. Wake me up at 8 o'clock. We're going to sit and watch. I'm like, okay, Alex. Didn't happen. Saturday, didn't happen.
So I have not
seen it. I'm anxious to see it.
I saw the first half. I fell asleep.
Oh,
it's a 3.5 hour
thing.
Movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Was it good? I heard it was boring, but what was your take?
I liked it a lot. I mean, you can't not like all these actors.
Not like this.
Well, it's Pacino and De Niro, and I understand
and Joe Pesci.
Pesci, and they used computer imaging to not age them, but make them younger.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah,
it
yeah,
was
yeah,
them
yeah. Yeah, right.
portraying themselves younger.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part, and I actually have to watch it again. You guys are familiar with Sebastian Maniscalco?
Yes.
The comedian?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So Sebastian Maniscalco had a part, and I forget what his part was, but he got killed pretty. He was like one of those thugs, you know, with his family, and he thought he was all that. And then
De Niro shot
him in the head, you know, within three
scenes.
Is it
like super graphic? Like, is it like Sopranos stuff?
No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it's
somewhat, but not terrible.
It's graphic, but no, I don't like that.
I don't
when
like
it's
that
super, you know, close up of the shot in the head.
Yeah.
It's more, it's a boom, and you watch it from far away. I don't like that. But
it's good.
So he gets knocked off early.
Sebastian gets knocked off. But what was so awesome about it was that I've been waiting for this movie. Mm-hmm. And I've been a big fan of Sebastian's only because my boyfriend is into comedians. I would have never known who he was.
Right.
And I had heard that he was going to be in this movie. But by the time we finally got to watch the movie, I forgot. So all of a sudden, when this character comes in, I'm like, wait a minute. That's Sebastian. I forgot he's in this freaking movie.
Mario's cousin Marilyn loves him, like has traveled to see him.
This guy is so freaking funny.
Yeah.
Do you know him?
No.
I've watched a couple of his things.
Oh. He's like he's not from Brooklyn. I think he's from Chicago, but the same. So he's got a little bit of a Chicago accent,
right.
But with a Brooklyn,
twist.
You know, coffee, but it's like, you know, it's a Chicago kind of coffee talk. He's amazing. So I was losing it and I actually didn't even appreciate what was happening because I was freaking out.
You were so into like looking at him.
Yeah. But I heard people on Facebook and stuff saying it was so boring and it was.
Well, if they really didn't know the story about it, you know, about Hoff, Hoffman and Hoffa.
Hoffa.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really, only vaguely know the story. I can't remember.
Interesting. It's 3.5 hours. Well, everybody was a little looped while we were watching it, and it was tiring.
Was it like Thanksgiving night or something?
Yeah, something like that. And, every 5 minutes, my wife was getting up. Goes, well, you know that guy over there? I remember when I used to live in that neighborhood.
Oh, boy.
And so we had to stop the movie.
Oh, boy.
And she had to tell us all about the guys were in that neighborhood.
And I don't think I could watch a movie with her.
Oh, my God. It was like every 20 minutes she was like, uh-oh. Oh, and over there is where I used to live.
Were people getting pissed or it was okay? It was all in good fun.
I was getting pissed.
You were getting annoyed.
And Vinny, you don't get pissed.
No.
Very easily.
It was 3.5 hours. I wanted to watch the movie.
Yeah.
But we did get through it, even though we had pizza somewhere in the middle of it.
Right.
But I enjoyed it.
You know what I can't wait for? Is SNL still live on Saturdays?
Yeah.
So you know they're going to have someone play Macron and Trudeau. And who the hell is there? Boris Johnson.
Yesterday.
Who is going to play all of those where they're like, yeah, freaking guy takes 40 minutes to get. I can't wait for.
I have to say, I was pretty excited. Pretty excited when Mario and I were having dinner yesterday and the David Muir, we watched, the ABC Nightly News at 6:30 and just getting dinner on the table and his tease is and overheard at the G2 was Trudeau some comments.
Yeah.
I was like, oh my God, what did they hear him say? Because you never know what's coming out of somebody's mouth. Right.
Well, and I heard commentary because lately I've been, not that I've really sought this out, but on Sirius is where I'm listening to the news in the morning.
Mm. Right.
And it seems that it's easiest to listen to CNN, which I know is slanted toward liberals, which I don't really want to do, but that's what I've been listening to.
Right.
So there was a commentator that said, I think a lot of these foreign leaders, including Macron and Trudeau, have realized that kissing his ass doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So they're done kissing his ass because it doesn't work. He's still going to rip you apart.
Mm-hmm.
He's still going to undermine you.
Right.
And so now they're starting to speak their mind, and it's really fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Oh.
Well, it's fun but frightening. I mean,
they're making fun
this
of
what you mean the end of democracy?
It's our president.
It's the end of democracy.
It's just
he's gonna. I predict
horrible.
I predict he does not get impeached and he gets reelected, and that this is the.
I hate to say it, but I think you're right.
The beginning of the end of democracy.
Well, let's hope not.
I'm sorry. It's pretty bleak.
Hey, Rob, we're coming to Ecuador.
That's right. We're all moving to Ecuador.
I know.
Hope you're...
Really?
How big is your place?
Well, I have all the paperwork for dual citizenship in Italy.
Oh.
What?
Now, that's a nice one.
Having parents. Because
you have family.
Grandparents. Mm-hmm. I don't have family. Mario has family, but his parents are from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
So that means that you could get dual.
It's very easy to file for dual citizenship.
Really?
Extremely easy. Mm. Yeah, I have most of the paperwork done already. Just haven't done it. But
I know. I'd like to get out of town.
It's getting.
Yeah.
I'm
thinking Norway.
I wouldn't mind an option.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'd want to go to Italy. I might want to go to like Sweden or Norway or. One of those.
Italy works for me. Though.
Cozy, socialistic, everyone gets taken care of countries.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yes, yes.
Well.
All right, so we're getting away from food. So what else?
As she takes a bite of some food.
Yeah. Olive tapenade. I actually never get sick of olive tapenade.
Really?
Never.
I don't get sick of anything, really.
I do. I can't have pesto anymore.
I get more sick of making things than eating things.
No, shit.
I just love all food. I really do.
Do you ever get sick of hummus?
I don't eat it all
pesto.
The time.
I just had some really good hummus the other day. Really
good. Did you make it?
No, but it was you know, it was made from a really, I think it was a Turkish company.
Oh, okay.
You know, one of those Turkish
restaurants. Real.
It was real.
It wasn't.
But it was, you bought it in the grocery store.
Someone brought it to my house. It was like they came over.
They made it.
Well, I don't know. They just brought it.
It might have been Sabra. Sabra's
you never know.
The big hummus right now.
I used to, as of 10 years ago, I always made my hummus for parties.
I know.
Me too.
But now there's some good products.
It's so easily available.
There's some good products. It's really hard to resist. Like, oh, do I go through the sweat? But when I used to make it, and I kind of based it on having hummus at this one restaurant, and I did a lot of red onion with the garbanzo beans and the garlic and the tahini and the lemon juice and salt. Mm-hmm. And the red onion just kind of made it a little more drippy.
Mm-hmm.
Just added that. And also the intensity of the onion. And it was like, I loved
delicious.
It. But then good ones started coming out. And I was like, I'm not doing it.
I know, but even
it.
If I use a store-bought for an event, which is rare. Usually we make it. But in a pinch, I always put a handful. You know, I'll change it up. I'll put it like a big, giant handful of chopped parsley in it, or I'll put, I'll zip it up.
You doctor it up.
Exactly.
Well, that's the way they sell them in the stores. They sell them all doctors with pine nuts.
Oh, with pine nuts and red peppers. And no, you're better off getting the plain.
No, I don't mean that. I like it. I would get plain and I would incorporate it with my own things. Like I would put roll a tapenade into it, or parsley, or put a little bit more lemon or mint, or doctor it up.
Mm-hmm. That's all I do these days, Laura. I doctor shit up.
And what's Governor Cuomo's girlfriend?
Yeah,
is the woman that had a cooking show, and that was the whole show was doctoring up thing. Hang on.
Oh, I don't like that show.
She's a blonde. You know who I mean?
I know. I do not. And I don't like the whole premise of the show.
It's called
Doctor It Up.
No, that's not what it's called. It's called Semi Homemade. So she would take. She would take.
Worse.
She would take. You know, start with this product and turn it into and doctor it a bit. And turn it into this.
It's kind of the story of my life right now
it's
with
for,
the kids.
You know, people with not a lot of time and like, people that don't know how to cook.
Or I get. I'm told I'm supposed to get cans of nacho cheese.
Oh, well, that's nice.
And put them on nachos. I'm like, dude, I can't. I literally can't sleep at night if I do that. So I take the freaking cans and I dump a shit ton of real cheddar in it, for goodness sake.
Exactly.
And just let it melt. Like everyone should.
Exactly.
Ah.
Get rid of the can.
I'm sick of doctoring. All right, we're out of time.
We are out of time.
All right, who knows where we will be next week?
Don't know, but we'll see you then.
All right. Thanks for listening.